We want the truth, so watch Truth Wanted live Fridays at 7 p.m. Central. Visit tiny.cc/yttw and call into the show at 512-991-9242 or connect to the show online at tiny.cc/calltw. So you think.
Welcome to the Atheist Experience. We are live. Today is Sunday, September 4th, 2022, unless you're watching us later, and I won't have to do that same joke. I'm Matt Dillahunty. Joining me this week, Jay Mike. How are you, sir?
I'm doing awesome. Doing great. I'm awake and ready for calls, so it's been like a few weeks of being pretty exhausted, so I'm extremely happy to be doing it on this day in the mental state that I'm in. So very happy to do the show.
Sweet. I'm happy that you're here and in a good mental state, because who knows what kind of mental state I'm in. Really quickly, for everybody who's calling in, this is formerly public access show, but where we take calls from people. We want to know what you believe and why. We want you to be able to defend your beliefs. And I get it. There's two of us and one of you, and there's a delay, so we're going to try to make judicious use of hold and other things. But as long as you are, well, theist will always have priority, but as long as you are calling in good faith to make your case, I'm going to give you a full minute. We even have a little clock that we can put up that shows the minute countdown as you're doing this. And there's no reason for us to actually wait around. We can just start taking calls right now, because I get a feeling this one's going to be quick. We have Tyler in Texas, pronouns are he, him, wants to talk about why biblical slavery was A-okay. So hi, Tyler.
Hi, Matt. Not that biblical slavery was A-okay, but that God condoned slavery for a different reason than what's commonly argued on the show by the
sure. Theists. So you're an atheist, it says on the thing.
That's correct.
So why would any of us care, and why would you care what you think kind of excuse you can make for a God that you don't believe in? Why are we wasting any time on this at all?
Because it helps people that actually do believe or think that this God is an inerrant, infallible arbiter of morality. They're going to be at odds with what they actually read in the Bible.
No, sir. If you're calling in, you're not a good faith caller. Okay, here, let me put on my Christian hat here, and okay. I'll debunk you before you even get started. You're an atheist. You don't believe in God. Why should anybody give a fuck what you think is excusable about the Bible?
It's not excusable.
No. You called in to say that biblical slavery is okay, not because it's not moral, but because because God wanted to create a great nation, right?
Out of the Israelites.
When I ask that's perfect. A yes or no question.
Can you answer or ask your question again, please?
Are you saying that it's okay because God wanted to create a great nation?
No, it's not okay. It's inexcusable. But that's the reason.
What the fuck are you? Okay, let me start over, Tyler, because at this point, you either lied to the call screeners or you're lying to me. So what's your point?
No, my point is that God told Abraham he would make his people greater than the sands on the seashore.
Tyler, do you believe that this God exists?
No, I don't.
Then why are you calling in to tell us what the Bible says?
Because I thought I had a good point. I mean, you don't want to hear callers try to say that slavery is okay, and that's not what I'm saying.
I don't want to hear people who don't believe shit calling in to make excuses for the shit that they don't believe. I don't need atheists calling in to defend the Bible, Tyler. That's a waste of my fucking time.
I'm not defending the Bible. I said it was inexcusable.
You are. You are wanting to talk about your view on what God did in the Bible. Why should anybody care about a God that you don't believe in and what you think it may wanted to do?
I'm not entirely convinced that you care, but I think Christians care.
Okay. Go talk to Christians then. Goodbye.
Okay.
All right. So now we got that.
Bizarre.
Yeah. Here's the thing. There are theists out there. There are people who genuinely believe what the Bible has to say. I want to know what they believe and why. Well, I don't know what Tyler got wrong, because tell us what you believe and why is not the same as tell us what you think theists should believe based on your understanding of the Bible and why. That's not what this show is. I don't need atheists calling in to pretend to be theists. I don't need atheists calling in to suggest that they have a better understanding of the Bible. If you want to argue with Christians and compel them and change their mind on something, go talk to them. That's not what this show is.
Yeah, it seems like trivial too, because presumably like the theist already thinks God has a reason. He's offering some other reason that somebody could have, but that's like not even the point of the conversation, is whether or not we agree that God lists out reasons for doing X, Y, or Z of like establishing slavery,
so
or something like
that.
Yeah, so it just seems, yeah, it's like, it's bizarre to me.
It is literally one of the weirdest things. Why on earth are you sitting around going, you know what? I think I have a different take on what the Bible says than many Christians to have. So I'm going to call in to an atheist show and we can have the, I don't understand what good the conversation is, because at the end of the day, if Tyler thinks that the Bible's take on slavery is immoral, well, congratulations, we agree. I don't need atheists calling in to agree. Even if they agree for slightly different reasons. This is really weird.
Yeah, because I'm interested when someone says that there's a reason and then you're saying God thinks this is a good thing that should have happened. I want to know, like, why would that have to have happened? Why couldn't there be detailing of something else? Like, why was that necessary? Or why would we even cite a reason, let alone like identifying one of the potential reasons you could give? My whole thing is, once you give a reason, you're saying that it should be done. And I disagree with that. Why do you think that should be done? Or why would you defend something where it gives a reason to do such an atrocious action? But yeah.
I'm just genuinely confused at how some people arrive at the decision to call in to make a case for something that they don't believe in. It's wild. I think before we even went live, you were like, I think it's a good idea that Voldemort decided to try to kill Harry Potter because I'm like, okay, that's exactly what that call was going to be.
Yeah,
I'm not interested in the fanfic, but
yeah.
For those of you who've tuned in, we're live and we got a bunch of people on hold. We're going to be taking a bunch of calls. I'm going to try be as magnanimous as possible, I suppose, in charitable listening and timing and everything else. But we tried to figure out this call before the show went live, and everybody was just sitting here going, hang on, that's an atheist calling? I don't understand it. But for those of you who are there, there is a donation link below the chat. 100% of your donations go to the ACA. Google doesn't take its cut. And if you don't want to feel like supporting financially directly that way, there are other ways that you can support financially and otherwise, including ACA merchandise. And there'll be a screenshot up with whatever the monthly t-shirt is for this week, which is, hello, I'm an atheist. Here are some of the things I don't do. I don't believe in your God. I don't eat babies. I don't lack morals. I don't worship Satan or anyone else. I can't even read it. It's avoid foxholes.
I think it says foxholes. That's what I was thinking.
Oh yeah. Oh yes. Oh yes. I get it now. It's much clearer. Avoid foxholes, because that tired old canard that says there's no atheists in foxholes. Yeah, we're not avoiding them. Although I wasn't an atheist when I was in the military, but also I don't fear going to hell, your hell, and I don't support a war on Christmas, or do I? Which I thought was extra funny. And for those of you who shop on Amazon.com and want to support the ACA at no cost to you, you can simply visit tiny.cc/AmazonSmileACA and designate the Atheist Community of Austin as your selected charity, and Amazon will donate a portion of their profits directly to ACA. You can also become a member here on the YouTube channel for like 99 cents or something. That gets you out of slow mode when we do it. It also gets you some custom emotes and things. And you can support us at Patreon, patreon.com/theatheistexperience. If you want to just interact with people, there are a number of unofficial forums that we like to promote, including the Atheist Experience fan group. And then there's also the Atheist Experience private fan group. The links for those are up on the screen. Most importantly, though, is the ACA website, www.atheist-community.org. That website is going to be the primary way that the Atheist Community of Austin releases information, whether it's news, things about the Bat Crews, corrections, apologies, contact information, etc. Those sorts of things. And you can email tv@atheist-community with any feedback, questions, concerns, criticisms. But we have real calls and real theists here ready to explain what they believe and why. All right, let's dig in here. We've got Aaron in Illinois. Pronouns are he, him. And he wants to explain to us why his religion's the true religion and all the rest fail. So thanks, Aaron. Welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. It's an honor to be on the show again. So I'm Catholic, traditional Latin Mass Catholic, not the Novus Ordo that you see mostly now. But I believe that Catholicism is 100% the true religion, and that there's no salvation outside the Catholic Church. Extra ecclesiam nulla solus is an ancient doctrine of the Catholic Church, and I totally believe it. If you want to know why.
Okay, congrats. I tell you what, we'll give you a minute to explain why you believe, because that's the important part. Saying you believe it, that's cool. You're already off to a better, start than somebody who's trying to call in to defend something they don't believe. But we'd like to know why. So we'll give you a minute to start on that, and you can probably go longer as long as you're doing a good job.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you. So yes, I believe that because the only living God, Jesus Christ, is the one that founded my church 2,000 years ago upon Peter and the apostles, and they made successors, and they've made successors until today. Jesus is the only living God, and I believe that life exclusively comes from life, and that life is supernatural, and supernatural in origin, and it's not natural for nature, for dirt and things to become alive and aware. And I believe that my God is the only living God, and that God must be supernatural and living, and that that is my God, and that God came down and redeemed us, made a way for us to go to heaven again, and like He promised, and kept in touch, and fulfilled His promise, and he's still with us today. And that's why I believe that my religion is the only true religion, because my God is the only true God, and my God came and founded my religion.
Yeah, I want to make sure that Mike gets in on this pretty much right away, but I'll just say right at the start, you didn't give me a single why. You just gave me a whole bunch of things. You repeatedly talked about how your God is the only living God. You didn't do anything to demonstrate that it is a living God or why you believe it's a living God. I don't know. Did you have questions on that, Mike? You're muted, I think.
Apologies. That's me. I'm sorry. I just want to make sure I was typing your notes. I didn't want to distract anybody. So I had the same kind of concern, right? Because I wrote down Jesus founded the church. Jesus is the only living God. Life comes from life, has supernatural origins, and it's the only living God. None of those I see is like, they're just more like propositions that you believe are true, but I don't see like any justification for like why me or Matt or anybody listening should accept that. Let me ask you, do you think like what I listed back to you would give me reason to accept any of those propositions, let alone the one that you think you're supporting them with?
That life exclusively comes from life?
No, fact that you think that this is the true religion, the true God, and you listed all these other propositions that you didn't justify, almost like just listing off things that you also believe. Do you expect me to like think that that's justified on the sense of that I should accept that?
Do you not believe that life exclusively comes from life?
See, here's the thing. I'm going to interrupt because you're not listening to Mike at all. Mike didn't address your claim that life exclusively comes from life, which, by the way, is an assertion that you haven't provided any evidence for, and something that is, as far as we can tell, demonstrably false through the various demonstrations of the possibility and likelihood of abiogenesis. But you're so hung up on one point that you completely ignored what Mike just asked you. So let's try that again. Do you think that Mike should believe, based on the assertions that you made?
Yeah.
There you go.
You do. Okay, so...
And you're muted again. Oh, it's just delayed.
Right. Okay, no worries. I guess that's strange. It's strange to me because, like, the way that I take, if I hold, like, a proposition to be true or I have a belief, that for a lot of cases for me, it's that I can generate some type of, like, prediction, or that it's backed up by things that made predictions in the future. And one of the big reasons for that is that you can take any set of data that you have and you can, like, construct a hypothesis, right? Like, I could say, like, I had a good day today, therefore, like, good day fairies. That's evidence for good day fairies or something. Like, we could construct a lot of different hypotheses on what explains the data. It doesn't sound like to me, though, that you've given really like any like reason at all. You just listed claims that you also believe, but like just an example of something that I would be looking for in my standards of evidence is like something that actually separates your claims about the data versus something I could make up, right? Because I could just say, well, I think Islam is true or some other religion's true, and then list other claims that they also believe in. And I don't feel like you would find that compelling in any way, the same way that I'm not feeling what you said was compelling in any way.
I haven't found any compelling arguments for abiogenesis.
Why are you hung up on that? Why are you okay. hung up? Go ahead, Matt.
Because that's a really... Okay.
What I'm saying is you say you haven't found any compelling arguments for abiogenesis. Well, okay, Let's pretend for a second that none of us found compelling arguments for abiogenesis, despite the fact that we've scientifically demonstrated that it is in fact possible, just not in, exactly the conditions that we believe the early Earth was. But that puts us in a position where none of us can have a good reason to believe in abiogenesis. But that does not mean that your assertion that life only comes from life is true. The absence of a conclusive demonstration for abiogenesis does not mean that your claim that life only comes from life is true. You have to actually demonstrate that. That is just fallacious reasoning. It is a completely fallacious argument for you to suggest that you can reasonably conclude that life comes from that life exclusively comes from life just because there isn't a demonstration of abiogenesis. That's not the way the burden of proof works.
It doesn't seem like it's going to rule out when you have a claim to, like, it's the one religion, the one true religion or the one true God. Like, I presumably other theists would just make the same claim. So that line of evidence, even if I granted it, isn't going to get you to your specific flavor of theism. Right. So, like, I don't really even see the force on that. Right. So, like, what is, like, the best evidence or the best justification you have specifically that's geared towards Catholicism that doesn't also include, like, other religions that we would have to further investigate? Right. Like, what's something that separates that from any other claim we can make, a naturalist, or another theist?
Because my God is the only living God.
That's just to beg the question.
Okay. Prove that your God is alive at all.
How do you expect me to do that?
I don't know. I'm not the one making assertions. If you're gonna no. If you're gonna make assertions that your God is the only living God, and you're gonna call into an atheist show where you're asked to talk about what you believe and why, when I ask you why you believe that your God is a living God, you don't get to say, "How do you expect me to do that?" You were supposed to show up with your A game. It's not my fault that you aren't ready to defend what you believe. Why did you call in if you can't defend it?
God, come down and show yourself. Is that what you want me to do?
Are you just a prank caller? Trying to have some fun and get yourself on the air? Is that what you're doing?
No.
Have you got any way to demonstrate that your God's actually alive at all?
I mean, no, I can't make him do nothing, no.
Cool, thanks, bye.
Wow.
It's so weird. 17 years and people haven't figured out that they can't just call in and say, "I believe that my God is the one true living God." Okay, why do you believe that? I don't know. Well, can you prove it? How would you want me to prove it? If you don't have any concept of what should convince people, how the hell are you convinced? What convinced you is all we're asking. This isn't difficult. We started this and we were like, "Hey, well, why do you believe what you believe?" Well, I believe the Catholic Church is the one true church because my church is the one with the only living God, and it founded it about 2,000 years ago with Peter and the Apostles, and life exclusively comes from life, and life is supernatural in origin, and dirt doesn't naturally become alive, and my God's the only living God, and God came down and redeemed us, and my God's the only living God. And the one thing that you said more often than anything else is the first thing that you can't demonstrate. You can't demonstrate that life comes exclusively from life. You can't demonstrate that the origin of life is supernatural in origin. You said dirt doesn't naturally become alive or aware, but only your stupid book is the one that says human beings were formed out of dirt. Science doesn't say you're formed out of dirt. It's wow. All right. It's a weird day. I think we're going to have
I always think like
I have no idea.
It's just funny to me when people, like, I don't want to do it to be mocking or anyway, but it's like when people come with the whole abiogenesis kind of criticisms, I'm like looking at like one thing like RNA on clay versus God breathed into dirt. And like that's the position on the other side that someone thinks has like more evidence towards as opposed to something that's actually being currently studied. It's like, okay, I don't know how to argue with you.
Yeah, it's really strange. I tell you what, though, we're gonna get to more calls here. But for those of you who are interested in sort of atheist versus theist debates, there is an atheist versus theist debate group on Facebook that we've been pointing to as well. And that's, you can go to tiny.cc/AXP fan debates and engage there. And what that'll do, if you're a theist, is hopefully get you more equipped so that when we ask a simple question, which is, and I get it, the answer may not be simple, the question is simple. Why do you believe what you believe? You don't just come back with a, you know, because or whatever. And by the way, I think we're getting ready to talk about presuppositionalism. And I think that's going to be, well, interesting because I have zero interest in people who presuppose the existence of God. That's the thing that's in question that we're supposed to demonstrate. So, but there's also a number of other shows that the Atheist Community of Austin, the Atheist Experience Network, produces as well. You probably may have seen Talk Heathen earlier today, but there's this other show that I am legally obligated by a bet to call the flagship show of the Atheist Experience Network, and that's the Nonprofits, and it airs on Sundays at 3 p.m. with brand new hosts and new segments. And if you are looking to catch up on the various audio-only podcasts for the shows, you can go to tiny.cc/AENpodcast and get audio-only podcasts or versions of Atheist Experience, Sexuality, Talk Heathen, Truth Wanted. All of our various shows are there in their audio-only podcast. And the reason they're there, and the reason that I am screwing everything up today, but other people are managing to get it right and in the right order no matter what I do, is because we have this awesome crew who are, well, right there, I think, yes. The cat is in charge, and see, that cat looked up right as soon as I acknowledged it. That's our Lord and Master. We all worship at the feet of the cats. I don't know. Anyway, in addition to the people that you saw, there's also call screeners, moderators, there's people taking notes, doing timestamps so that you can get better clips so that, you know, when I go off and make a call shorter than it should be, they know exactly where to cut it so that you get a better clip out of all. Are you ready for more, Mike? Because I'm ready.
I have presupposed that I'm ready for more. So let's do it.
Sweet. So we have from Canada, pronouns are he, him, a theist. Is the name correct as MacGruber?
That's correct.
So like boot to the head MacGruber?
Like not Hans Gruber, like the Will Forte character on SNL, MacGruber.
Sweet. So you're calling in to tell us that Cy Ten Brugge and Kate demolished me. And that you're going to, yeah, well, you're wrong, but it's hilarious that you think so, but go ahead. We're going to start with a minute on the clock so that you can assert your presuppositionalist stuff.
Okay. Premise one, God is necessary for intelligibility. Premise two, we have intelligibility. Therefore, conclusion, God exists. Swish.
All right. Awesome. So premise,
congratulations.
Premise one is a like you could just look at that as a biconditional, right? So it could be like intelligibility exists if and only if the Christian God exists. Would you agree that that's not, that's like a decent steel man of the first premise, or a way that you're looking at it?
Yeah, that's correct.
Awesome. So great. So what's the argument that for that claim? Why is that the case?
I'm glad you asked, J. Mike. It's that it has been revealed as such in both natural and special revelation.
Okay, awesome. So what does reveal mean to you?
It's not what it means to me. It's what it means. Like,
how are you using the word? What is revealed?
No. I'm sorry. But I'm going to jump in for a second.
I'll
interrupt you whenever the fuck I want. So here we go. Let me put you on mute for a second. It is about what the word means to you. Let me explain something to you about language, and that is words don't have intrinsic meaning, they have usage. And so when you use a word like revealed, it may be the case that your usage and my understanding of revealed are the same. It may also be that they're slightly different. So when Mike asks, what do you mean by revealed? And you come back with your snarky little bullshit about it doesn't matter what it means to you, you're wrong. You are fundamentally, demonstrably, over the top, ridiculously wrong. This is about how conversations work. If we want to get to the point where we understand what you're saying, and Mike seeks clarity, or I seek clarity, it is perfectly acceptable to say, what does this mean to you? How are you using this term? If you don't understand that, then you have no business carrying on any further in this conversation. So I've now taken you off mute. Answer Mike's question, please, about what you mean by reveal.
I apologize. Usually in my discussions with atheists, they use that as a time, like a delay tactic in order to stalemate the conversation. So by revealed, I mean he created the world such that we can know that he exists, and that he has given us divine revelation in the form of the Christian scriptures.
Okay. And so when you're saying when God reveals this to you, how do you not beg the question that you've actually been given the propositions that are revealed to you are true and not actually being revealed to you as false propositions? How do you actually adjudicate that without begging the question? You can't say God's just given it to you. Like how do you actually do it?
Let me clarify. He hasn't revealed it to me. He's revealed it to you too. You merely suppress the truth and unrighteousness per Romans 1 Romans chapter 1 verse 18 to 25. Let's get
Hold on.
We've got it out of the way. Go ahead.
There's an issue with that, like reasoning, and Alex Malpass points this out. Like if you just have this claim that like if God exists, then you know it, right? you know it, therefore God exists. Like, it's really easy to take that argument and just be like, okay, like, if God exists, you know it. I don't know it, therefore God doesn't exist, right? Because you're specifically defining this God as having everybody having knowledge of it. I don't have knowledge of it. How do I back up that premise? Well, knowledge is often discussed as a justified true belief. Not only do I not have knowledge, I don't even believe the proposition to be true, right? I don't hold the proposition God exists. Hold on, I'm not done. I don't hold the proposition God to exist.
I've now muted him because he can't stay silent when somebody's speaking.
Yeah, so I don't believe in the proposition God exists, right? I don't believe that proposition to be true. Okay, so I can substantiate my premise based on your line of reasoning. When you want to make some statement that I must know God exists and that therefore God exists, it's not the case, right? Because if I don't know it, it just deductively follows that your God doesn't exist, right? I can just modus tollens you, which is just to take your argument and then flip it. It's really easy to do. So I don't know, like, how you would make some claim, because when you go, no, you actually do suppress it, all you're saying is, no, I don't believe you. You stick your fingers in your ear, right? Yeah. That's not charitable. Like, if I'm telling you I don't believe the proposition and you're just saying I suppress it, there's no way we can go forward because you're just saying nuh-uh.
I'm not saying nuh-uh. I am prioritizing your claims, heathen atheists' claims, over the truth claims of the Christian God. Like, I believe God more than I believe you.
No. Here's what we're asking. Your assertion is that God has revealed himself to everybody, but that J. Mike and I suppress it. Prove that we are suppressing it.
I don't need to prove it. It's been revealed that.
Yes, you absolutely do, sir. I'm sorry that you didn't. You came in and you thought you were going to swish in 5 seconds, but you didn't.
I already did.
Congratulations on your self-satisfaction. But if you're going to claim that X is real, but J. Mike and I just suppress it, and we ask you to demonstrate the truth of that, and you say you don't have to, then why would we continue talking to you if you're not going to make your case for what you believe to be true?
Yeah, look,
go ahead, McGrew. I'd rather have the conversation.
Yeah, but here's
I just asked you a question.
Here's the issue I'm having, right? Because there's several issues. One, revelation is apparently enough for you to just gain access to all knowledge, and you're absolutely right about that. But I could parry to that, be like, I went out in the woods, and I smoked a bowl, and naturalism revealed itself to me, right? And then I come up to you and I say, you actually believe naturalism is true, you just suppress it, right? And then you go, okay, demonstrate that. I go, I don't have to demonstrate that. That is the exact thing that you called in and did, literally what you did.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a good way of arguing, or do you really think that you're being intellectually honest or actually care about truth if you're just going to go, ooh?
When the transcendent God of the universe reveals something versus when, like, average guy J. Mike reveals something, like, I take those claims with different value.
Okay, MacGruber. See, I would too. If the God of the universe revealed something, I would take that in a different category than if MacGruber revealed something to me. The difference is I have no evidence and no reason to believe that there is a God of the universe and that that God has revealed anything. We've been asking you to demonstrate that. And instead of demonstrating it, you're just asserting that it's the case and asserting that we're suppressing it. If you're not going to do better than that, I'm going to move on to a caller who actually gives a shit about conversation, gives a shit about demonstrating the truth of their claims, rather than claiming swish all smug at the beginning and winding up looking like a tool.
Is it?
Hello?
Is it my turn? I'm watching the feed, so I think the feed's delayed. Anyway.
Well, that's pretty stupid.
Okay, then.
Aren't you told not to do that?
Yeah, no kidding.
Weren't you told not to do that by the call screeners?
No, I wasn't, but okay.
That's a lie.
Anyway, it's not a lie. Like, I was told to mute the feed. Anyway, I'm not going to do the meta. So thanks for the bullying, though.
I'm bullying.
Anyhow.
Bring it on, bitch. No, I'm ready. I'm ready.
So there's also the impossibility of the contrary. Like, God is necessary.
That just repeats the claim. Why do you all say this? Sorry, Matt, but this really bothers me. When you make a statement like it's the impossibility of the contrary, it is so stupid. You're saying P is necessarily true and not P can't exist, right? And how do I know P can exist? Because the impossibility of the contrary. You're just making the same claim you did, right? You think P is necessary. You think not P can't exist. So think of not P as all other worldviews. And I go, why can't, like, naturalism be true? And you go, impossible to the contrary. You're just saying the same thing that you said. So instead of just repeating the claim 1,000 times, support the premise that you've given, the biconditional, more specifically, that intelligibility and facts of the world require the Christian God. Give me the argument for that. Don't just, like, merely say that I suppress the truth. Don't do that. This is why nobody in philosophy takes presuppositionalism seriously. It's garbage. So please substantiate your premise instead of hand-waving or trying to be like, oh, I suppressed this. What's the actual argument?
I'm going to unmute you, and I want to be very clear about something. We were having a discussion where you were saying that God is necessary for intelligibility, and that the reason for that you know this to be true is that God has revealed it to everyone, but that we suppress it. When we got you to get to the point where you refused to defend that premise, defend that position, you then decided to move on to a new argument that, while related, is different. So if you want to move on to the impossibility of the contrary argument, first concede that everything you said prior is absolutely useless. Otherwise, defend it. You either defend what you started with, or you admit that you failed before moving on. You can't have it both ways. Which is it?
One, I don't need to defend it. It's been revealed in the Bible.
Goodbye.
It's frustrating when someone wants to.
You guys and your wrong answers.
And what's also more frustrating when someone wants to say it's impossible, like the contrary is impossible. Like the way I take impossibility, or at least I don't know how you do as well, Matt. But like the only way that I really know something to be impossible is like if it entails a contradiction, right? So if that's right. The case that you're making, that like the worldview which that I believe in, say I'm a naturalist or something. I don't really like to use the term, but say I'm a naturalist, and you want to make the claim that that's impossibility to the contrary because P has to be true or theism has to be true. Well, then what's the contradiction entailed by my worldview? Like, what is it that actually makes it impossible? Like, what are the two propositions or the set of beliefs that I have that, when combined together, are like in tension with each other? Because nobody seemingly can just if it's a contradiction. Right, if a square can't be a circle, it should be easy for you to explain why. And I don't understand why this is not the case for like this presuppositional tactic, right? It seems like you would have more below that claim than just simply saying it, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, when we started this call, he starts off with the Cy Brunegate demolished me, when Cy presented exactly one argument, which was demonstrably fallacious, as was pointed out by someone during the Q&A, a fallacy that I had actually missed, which demolished it. And apart from that, Cy hasn't done anything apart from get booted from his church and no longer be an apologist he did something sinful, I think, and lost it. But if we're sitting here and you want to say, okay, God has revealed himself, of course we're going to, you have to anticipate these questions. How do you know that God's revealed himself? Everybody knows it. You're just suppressing it. Okay, that's an absolutely useless line of argument. And as J. Mike already pointed out, anybody could say that about anything. He just went back to the, yes, but I think a revelation from God's more important than J. Mike. I do too. I love you, J. Mike. You're awesome. But I think a revelation from God would be more important than what J. Mike has told me. Fortunately for everybody in the world, we have no examples of any revelation from any God ever. And we have tons of incredibly wise revelations from J. Mike. So I'm going to stick with that for now. But to try to switch gears, it's really difficult if you're not willing to acknowledge points. If I make a bad argument and you point out where it's fallacious, I will say, aha, that argument is fallacious. Let's set that aside and move on. Theists don't do that. The theists call in, and when they get back to a corner, they just switch gears and try to present a different argument, a different version of an argument, or make appeals to faith. You've got to come with your egg. And on that note, there's a lot of things going on in this world, and sometimes I miss out on what's going on. If you've missed out on what's going on with the ACA, we've got a promo for you to catch you up.
So, and in that moment, I was so disillusioned. I was just like, you can never have faith in other human beings, you know?
You're born alone, you die alone. I hear it.
Oh, yeah.
I had a breakup in my 20s. I understand what that feels like.
It's in order to pass your exams, you have to study Quran anyway and memorize parts of it, regardless of your own personal faith.
So no such thing as a separation of religion and government in Egypt, hey?
Hey, did you hear Pope Francis? He said affirming things about the queer community. My thoughts are just, well, congratulations. Like thanks for finally getting there.
You could convert tens of thousands of people right now. Ask God, your intelligent designer God to give you the magic words to convince us that God exists. And you'll get straight ticket, 72 virgins. You're ready to go. Give it to, what do you got?
That's not love. That's manipulation. It's fear-mongering. It's vile. It's disgusting. And the book that you're pointing to advocates for slavery, genocide, misogyny, all of these things. And you come up, well, it's just love. It's just context. Go f*** yourself. Bastards. These people, I tried to be as supportive as I could for them. And now... Johnny and Ben, who hosted Talk Heathen earlier today. So if you haven't seen it, I was going to say go watch it.
We were being
These guys, they just walked in with pizza and eye patches.
You know what?
You too. And we're back and moving on with other callers. We have interesting kind of question here. Eric in Michigan had a supernatural experience. Pronouns are he, him. Welcome, Eric. Tell us what's going on.
Hey, man, how are you doing, man? It's an honor to talk to you. I'll be honest with you. You know,
say that at the end of the call, and it'll be much better received.
Yeah, great, great. Okay, hey, Matt. Listen, I don't want to digress too much of what I'm trying to talk to. But anyway, I'm African American, and just to get straight to the point, you know, it seems as though we have a history of being, if you will, indoctrinated to believe in Christianity and attendance of the Bible, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, I say that to say I called you because I'm in conflict because some 30 years ago, I had a supernatural experience where I saw objects move, I heard things move, and this happened in the home of where my stepfather died, who was very mean and abusive. And all of this happened during a time where my brother, who was heavily into the church, he was praying, and I was in the basement when I heard all of this, the manifestation of this, quote-unquote, for lack of a better description, supernatural. So I used to be into the church, Matt, but like yourself, I read the Bible, and there was just too many contradictions and it repeats with hypocrisy. It just made me think twice about the tenets and the validity of the Bible. So I'm kind of torn into, well, that supernatural experience that I witnessed, well, what could that have been? And the reason why I'm calling, too, because I'm quite sure, well, I don't know for certain, I don't have evidence, but there's probably other people that have had some type of experience in which they can't explain, but yet they embrace the attendance of Christianity or other religions. But myself, as I heard you argue before, if you don't know what it is, then how can you assert what it is? So yeah. I'm just
literally, I was literally getting ready to ask you the same question. If you admit you don't know what it is, how can you say it was supernatural?
Right, exactly, man. And I've heard that argument from you before. That is a very good point. All I can
answer it.
That is something that it's just something that I don't know what it is. So therefore, I don't know what it is. So to assert that it was a religious or a demon, if you will, that's what I've been told that it was. I don't have any truth or a way to validate that assertion because I don't know what a demon is. I've never experienced a demon. So I'll just chalk it up as to something that I don't know. Yeah. Now, Matt, if I can go on. Now, some people were saying, well, how do you know? Maybe you were imagining. Maybe you were under the hallucination. I don't drink. I don't smoke. Never have. There's also someone that experienced and was there when I experienced it. So it was my girlfriend at the time, and she experienced, and we both witnessed and collaborated the exact same thing. So as my brother was praying, we were in the basement. This force was coming down the stairs with a large weight and thump of each rung of the stairs, and boom, boom, and it was knocking against the walls, and it was growling. And when it got to the bottom of the stairs, finally, the lamp was thrown off of the off the table, and the ashtray that was sitting next to the lamp was thrown underneath the bed on the other side of the basement where she and I were at the time. And then the curtains flew open, and I asked her, "Hey, did you hear that?" She said, "Yeah, did you hear that?" And my brother, I went upstairs and asked my brother if he heard it, and he confirmed that he heard the commotion as well. So I mentioned that, Matt, just because someone out there may be saying, "Well, you were probably hallucinating." Yeah, whatever. So, yeah. So I don't know how to label myself. I don't know. Am I agnostic? Am I atheist? But one thing I do not assert or subscribe to is that I'm a Christian based on what that experience was. I don't know what it is.
Okay. Let's imagine that somebody came to you and told you, described the exact same experience that you just described. What would you think? Mm-hmm.
Well, first, what would I think, Matt? I would think, well, maybe you could have been hallucinating. However, that person confirmed that someone else confirmed, and they also had...
Which doesn't mean you weren't hallucinating.
Okay. But both of us, Matt? And then there's all...
Yeah, there's something called folie à deux. It's where there are shared... There are shared deceptions and illusions, folly I do. But okay. In any case, at the end of the day, you experienced something and you don't know what it was. Do you have any way to investigate it to get a better answer than that?
No, No, we don't.
Let it go.
I don't know.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Just let it fucking go.
Yes.
And learn to say I don't know.
I wanted to do that, Matt. I've been wanting to do that since I experienced it in the 80s. But my ex-girlfriend to this day and my brother to this day, they assert that that was a demonic force. And they also reference the Bible and so on and so forth. I'm of the firm belief I don't know what it is. I don't know.
Neither do they.
Okay. So,
Vanessa, stop.
Sure.
What? Something happened to you and you don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And other people are telling you that they do know what it is. Can they prove it?
Right. Exactly. They cannot.
That was a question. Okay. So if somebody's telling you that they have an explanation for it, but they can't prove it, what else can be done?
Well, there's no way to falsify it. Only thing, as you just suggested, just let it go.
Exactly. So let it go.
But what I ask you, what I need to know from you, Matt, so, again, in the Black community, and I don't know why, but we just have this stark belief that Christianity is it. In spite of slavery, in spite of all of the contradictions in the book that does not favor the well-being of mankind, for lack of a better expression. And I argue against there's just so many things in the Bible that to me is just replete with contradictions and hypocrisy. So part of me wants to say, like you said, let it go. But the other part of me argues, well, even if you visit some of the rules of physics, energy cannot be created or destroyed. So part of me says, well,
Eric,
perhaps this is a manifestation of something else. Go ahead.
Eric, why are we still going on? And why are you calling it energy?
I don't know what else to call it that.
Just because you can't come up with something else to call it doesn't mean it's energy.
Well, what is it, man?
I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't have any explanation. But you don't get to call it energy unless you can show that it's energy.
So the fact that there's a witness to objects being moved, there was sounds. That has to be generated by something. Not to assert what it is. That's a different story. I'm not claiming.
You are asserting. Wow, Eric. I give up. I'm going to let Mike try to explain to you, because I give up. You don't know it's energy, so you're calling it energy, just like you didn't know it was supernatural, so you called it supernatural. The fact that you don't have a better word, we are still at, you have no idea what it was, and neither does anybody else. You have no way to investigate it, and neither does anybody else. So stop going, gosh, it must be energy, which means it might be this. No, you are looking for an explanation for something that you cannot explain.
And the worst part is that you've admitted that you don't know, but you want to side on this external bias, right? Because there's two kind of options. I feel like you could parse it out. Either there was something internal going on between me and then the other person that I was with, which I've been in situations where I've seen something happen where two people, myself included, thought we saw something and then everyone else in the room was like looking at the same thing, didn't see it, right? So to rule out specifically that, like, at least the way that I'm detecting this, it's not really as much of a like advice towards it, but the way that I'm analyzing hearing you speak is that you've made this kind of confirmation towards like thinking it's external. Your assumptions are like it's energy, right? Well, energy is really just the capacity to do work. I don't really know what energy means when people use it in that sense. I think I kind of understand what you're saying, but I don't fully. But it still assumes that it's external to you. But you're not in any time where you've made some like analysis on what it could be. Did you ever turn it in? Like maybe it's just this internal thing. You almost seem like hesitant to even allow that as an option, which to me seems to point out that you're kind of like this whole retrospect of thinking about it. Like you're just trying to confirm the external side and you're not actually looking at all the possibilities. And if you just admit you don't know, you don't know. I don't know what like looking back at it is going to do. You're just going to have to move on and
right. And to be honest with you, Mike, had it not been for the fact that it was witnessed by other people, then I would have probably concluded or just deduced the fact that it could have been an hallucination or something else. But it was confirmed by other people that was in the house. But furthermore, my point, really what I want to get in, whatever it was, we don't know. I argued with everyone else that I tell this to and who people were in the house. I said that does not confirm the manifestation of forces as described in the Christian Bible. Am I right?
It could be. Well, the thing is, you've opened opened it up to really, like, I could just tell you what happened was aliens on another planet messing with some technology, and then they picked a random house and started moving things up to test their new technology. That's a completely natural explanation. Didn't have to invoke any supernatural anything. Like, we could do that. Like, you could tie it to anything you want because it's so vague, right? You haven't really identified anything. The fact that it's so vague shouldn't give you any confidence at thinking it's external from you, right? That's kind of my point, is that you have like this confidence that it's external to you, when I think your confidence and all the evidence generally points that it's internal to you. I think you adding another person there, like, seems intuitive to say, yep, there was another person. It doesn't rule it out just because two people saw something that they both experienced the same type of phenomena, right?
So, yeah. So I agree with you and Matt and concluding that we don't know what it is. But I do argue and push back against people asserting that they do know what it is. And
well, sure, you should. I mean, they weren't there. Your experience was necessarily first person. That's why me or Matt can't identify, right, what had happened, because we weren't there. We weren't revealed that information that you were, right? And so we can only speculate, but the thing that bothers me is that we don't have anything. Like, if you created like an Excel spreadsheet or something, or you just got on Word and you listed out like explanations for the data of anything you want in the world, like, nowhere on the left side are you going to ever have anything where the supernatural or invoking energies in the way that you do has ever been viable, has ever helped anybody, has ever made novel predictions, right? It's done nothing. But on all the other side, like the alien example I gave you, it's just like more reasonable inherently, but it's still, you would agree, is probably absurd. So we probably should just, the fact that we have so many potential explanations to explain the phenomena, like, it seems more reasonable to me to assume that this is something that's happened in your brain, that occurred within you and somebody else's brain. Maybe not. Maybe it was external and you misidentified it. But you don't have any basis in your background information to appeal to anything that you would be potentially appealing to, the same way that the people that are criticizing you and saying it might be Christian or part of Christianity or demons or angels or whatever, right? The same way they don't have that right to do that, right?
Yeah. Well, I agree, Mike, but at the same time, I do have 100% confidence what I experienced was, and again, the person and persons that I was there, we all experienced the same thing. And sure, there can be a lot of psychological explanations. And, you know, it kind of takes me back to the movie back in the early 70s, The Exorcist, when they took the girl to the shrink and they were coming up with all of these clinical explanations as to what was happening. I'm not saying that this was happening. This was the case in our case, but I can tell you 100% certainty this was not an imagination. This is something that was...
No, you can't.
But again, my whole premise
No, you can't.
Say again, Matt? I'm sorry.
No, you can't. You don't can't know rule anything it out. With 100% certainty, and you don't know what it is. How you're claiming to have ruled out something that you can't rule out.
And that's just kind of adding to what I was saying to you, that you're wanting to confirm it, that it's external to you, and you're just like, nope, it's not internal. I ruled it out, but for no reason at all.
Yeah, because it wasn't just me, J-Mac. And
that doesn't matter.
And it wasn't not just me.
No, okay. part of what you're doing is you're sitting here talking about how you all experienced the same thing. No, you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You experienced something, and you had a discussion about it, and you came to agreement, but that doesn't mean that you all experienced the same thing.
Well, we may have interpreted it differently, but we did experience the same thing, and I say that, I have to push back.
Okay.
I apologize, Matt, but we all agreed that we heard the same thing. The person that I was laying in bed with that time, she it described the same thing. To this day, if I call her today, and I talked to her last year about this, and although this event happened over 30 years ago, she will still...
Holy shit!
To this day, expressed exactly what we experienced then as she would now.
This was 30 years ago?
Over 30 years ago, yeah.
Over 30 years ago, and you don't think that the times that you guys have discussed it have potentially polluted yours and other people's recollection of this event?
Well, I'm quite sure. That's like with anything, Matt. You're not going to delineate.
Yes, with anything. So you're sitting here talking about your 100% confidence, and you've got this thing that happened over 30 years ago. So you're still hanging on to something. I'm not going to let this call go for another 30 years. You have no way to demonstrate it. You have no way to test it. You've been hanging on to it for 30 years, and you are confident that somebody will relay the story the same way. Of course you are, because over the intervening years, you guys have built up a narrative and a story. I, I don't know how old you are, but I'm 53. I couldn't tell you anything that happened when I was 23 with 100% certainty. I couldn't tell you anything of significance that happened there that was remarkable at all. This is beyond silly now. This is a waste of everybody's time.
Well, I understand you see it that way, Matt, and then respectfully, I have to disagree with you, and that's why I called.
Okay.
This was not a prank call. Cool. And if you want to believe me, that's
I'm moving on, Eric.
This is your show. I get that.
I'm moving on. I appreciate it. I don't need somebody. Here's what I remember about something from 30 years ago. And I'm pretty confident, or I'm absolutely confident, that the other people there will recall the same thing and had the same experience. You really need to look into the faultiness and the flawed aspects of human memory and how we overemphasize our confidence in it unjustly. Like, memory is malleable, manipulated, inaccurate. Eric, consider this. Would you allow you and your friend, or any two people who told the same story that you told, on the stand as reliable witnesses for this event? Because I would. The eyewitness testimony left wouldn't be sufficient. Okay, we got Kevin in Canada. Pronouns are he, him. Doesn't believe in God, but is still a theist or Taoist of some type. So what's going on, Kevin? What do you want to talk about? Welcome to the show.
Are you there, Kevin? And hi.
I'm sorry, Kevin. We had an audio glitch or whatever, so please start over. Welcome.
Oh, hi. I did the poll, and for the first time ever, I hit yes. I will, and it said, and I will call the show. So, so I am religious. I happen to think my religion is better than most theist religions. I'm an atheist as well.
Okay.
The
poll was specifically, why is your religion true and others are false? But now you're just saying yours is better. So I'll go with better. What is it that you believe? What is it that you believe that you think is better from a religious point of view?
Well, from a religious point of view is that I don't believe that there are gods that are that are telling us how to treat other people. There are general principles, and the principles conformed with the morality that I already had. My history is very similar to yours, except I was a Pentecostal instead of a Baptist, was considering becoming a preacher. But I did this much the same as you, I studied other religions and thought, okay, now my religion objects to all these other ones. Does mine hold up the same way? And it really didn't. And I became a philosophical Taoist. And ironically, my Taoist friends had no problems with me identifying as a Christian. My Pentecostal friends had a really big problem with me identifying as a Taoist, because as far as they were concerned, I was opening the door to hell.
Well, I would point out that if Taoism didn't have any, or Taoists didn't have any objection to you being a Christian, that to me seems like a flaw with Taoism, because if Christianity isn't true, and here's a philosophical system that doesn't care whether or not your beliefs are true, I would have objection to that. So what is it about Taoism that you consider to be true?
The idea of Taoism, that there's generally a balance. There's the Tao, which is the way, kind of like the Force in Star Wars, and that it's easier to live in harmony with that way than to constantly fight it. And I think that, the basic tenets of Taoism, which are compassion, frugality, and humility, I think are something that's, I think they're worthy.
I'm fine with some of those concepts being worthy, but I don't think that maybe your notion of balance, I don't think that necessarily holds water. I often hear, you don't believe in karma, do you?
No.
Okay.
And
so what is it about balance that you think is real and true? Because do you think, if there's no karma and there's no, force or agency that is attempting to balance, what is it that's balanced? And why is that the first thing you mentioned? I mean, if you just said, hey, my religion's about, compassion and humility, cool. So is humanism.
Right.
But what is it about Taoism? What does Taoism add that you find value in that is true?
For like most religions, it has like an emotional comfort, right? That's totally subjective. It doesn't require any gods. But the thing is, it's like not a, that basically when things happen, I mean, I understand there are serious flaws with Taoism. If you follow it to its sort of illogical conclusion, it creates a sort of fatalism that is not, you know, helpful to anybody. But I think one of the things, the idea of a balance is that, that there's a sort of self-corrective aspect to our societies and things like that. And if we go too far one way, then there will be a sort of correction. And it's not necessarily, I'm not saying it's a supernatural thing, whether it's, and I mean, we see this a lot in politics. I don't know if the States is the same, but in Canada, we have, you know, politics swings one way for so long, and then it tends to swing back the other. And then, so we end up...
Are you trying to say there's like a universal equilibrium or something? Is that, that's kind of how I'm interpreting this.
Yeah, like a, well, I wouldn't say it's an equilibrium because it's not stable. I mean, it wobbles for sure, but there is within humanity, I guess is again, probably similar to humanism. I haven't studied humanism to any great degree, but there's a degree of stability in the long term.
I don't know. It seems, because I might just be misinterpreting what you're saying. Honestly, there might be confusion on my part, but like to me, I guess where I'm hesitant on that, it's like, it sounds like you're ascribing like intentionality to like things that are just kind of have tendencies. And then we can describe those tendencies.
Actually, no, I don't think there's an intentionality. I just think that that's kind of the state of, yeah. Cause I mean, that's, I guess that's why it's not a theist. There's no agency or intentionality or purpose to it. It just seems to be that we have, I shouldn't use the word seems, but it does, there does seem to be an appearance of, I guess the sort of the extremes eventually tend to balance out if they don't, you know, at some point they tend to balance.
I don't know though about that. Not the case. And you go into certain hospitals, hallways of certain hospitals and, or depending on like, you know, how you, all the information you have about the world, I don't know how you have access to even know it's such a balance is occurring.
It seems like there's a lot of cherry picking going on and a lot of a complete lack of specificity. You keep talking about these things are balanced. What exactly is balanced?
Well, I get it. Probably balance is the wrong word, but that there's sort of a middle way between the extremes of right, left. And I guess it's politically is the easiest, I guess, analogy to use, but that I would probably have. Yeah, you're right about the cherry picking, and I should probably think more about that. And maybe I could come up with a more specific answer.
Cool. Call us back when you get one.
To do that for sure.
Sure. Thanks, right. Kevin. Thanks.
Have a good one, Kevin.
Okay. Bye bye.
It's interesting because I'd love to get into, because I'm not a Taoist, but not for any reason where I like looked into Taoism and said, oh, this is hogwash. It's, I never found anything that it added that was substantive. And for a lot of kind of non-monotheistic religions or doctrines like that, it just feels like they're never really specific enough. It's platitudes.
I was just about to say that.
And yeah, it's like there's some sophistry and platitudes, and it's like, you know, oh, it's when you think about politics, you know, like if it goes far enough one way, eventually it's going to come back. Well, no, that's not necessarily true. There, you know, you would like it to be true if the world starts getting more fascistic. Fascistic, is that the right word? I'm going to go with it. Fuck it, should be the right word. But if fascists get control, there's not really a mechanism outside of revolution to swing back the other direction. But the second you suggest that there is balance in something like that, you're necessarily what else could you be talking about other than either an agent or a mechanism that is, you know, like karma. It's either a being or some mechanism. And if you can't identify the mechanism that is bringing balance, and you can't be specific about what it's bringing balance to or whatever, we're right back to, you know, why did you call it energy? Why did you call it supernatural? How did you determine it's balanced? But I don't know.
I think I have same type of disposition against that. I just, the platitude-y stuff seems like that's the whole point of what it's trying to get attached to someone's psyche, as opposed to like real good reasons to accept it.
It's something that kind of feels good or feels intuitive or feels profound. Like here's a deepity. But James in New Mexico, pronouns are he, him, has a question for us. So welcome, James. How are you?
Good. Hi, Matt. Hi, J. Mike. It's nice to see hear both of you. Thank you for taking your time to speak with me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, thanks. Hey, what's going on?
I've got an issue I'm not taking notes now. I just want to talk to you. I have a mom and other family members that are fundamentalist Christian, and I'm an atheist. So I walked in, found my brother dead here 17 years ago. I walked, touched him. I was like, oh my goodness, I know what has happened. And these people have been nothing but problems to me ever since this has happened. So I wanted to ask some opinions from you all.
So real quick, 17 years ago, you discovered your brother dead. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, I walked in. My wife went in with me, and I reached down, touched his leg. I knew what I was dealing with. Sure. I've had therapy, and that sort of thing has gone on. I have a continual problem with my family who is fundamentalist Christian. Like, they're, some of them are young earth creationists. Some of them are just, God's gonna like make sure everything's okay. And recently what ended up happening was I've had this continual problem where people will tell me, hey, this is what's wrong with you. You're an alcoholic, you're this, you're that. And then they'll disconnect from me in an order to pull me back into Christianity. And I can't cope with that. So I'm in a situation right now with my mom where she's 88 years old, and I had to call the police and have them do a welfare check on her because she quit talking to me because I wasn't following God's plan or something of that nature. And it's been really painful. And I guess the question I'm looking for from you all is some advice about how to deal with that. I'm an atheist. I'll look up at the sky at night and go, yeah, it's fine. I could be a deist. That's just fine. But I just can't cope with these people. I have a sure. long-standing family value. And apologize if I speak over you.
No, there's an only thing. What I'm wondering is, you know, 17 years ago, what does your brother's death have to do with the conflicts with the family? Because you talk about them as young earth creationists and you not following God's plan and all this other stuff. But I haven't heard the connection between your brother's death and the problem with the family.
Oh, my brother's death and the problem with the family is, this is a hard one to describe, Matt. They are absolutely certain they're going to see him again in heaven. And I'm like, no, this is really not going to happen. And they're all, well, if you don't follow God's plan, you will go to hell, kind of thing. Does that answer your question?
Well, it seems to me that based on what you said, that they're saying they are expecting to see your brother again in heaven, and you're telling them that they're wrong. How do you know they're wrong?
Well, no, I'm not telling them they're wrong. What they're saying is, if you don't follow our plan or you don't do what we say, we'll take it out on you, which is going on right now. That's the reason I called today.
Take it out on you how?
Withdraw familial support.
Cool. Okay, that explains quite a bit. You don't have to answer this. I'm not asking this to be a dick or anything else. Are you an alcoholic?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so when your family uses your alcoholism against you, that's toxic. When they try to withhold their love or interaction because you don't agree with them about a God or what happened to your brother, that's also toxic. If it were my family, I would stop speaking to them. I would have no more interactions with them because I would rather live my life without toxic people in it than I would to be miserable and let somebody else have that sort of control over my happiness and well-being, because none of that is love. None of that is, you know, your family, if you act like family, none of that is what I would consider to be the sort of family that I want. Now, you may be in a different position where you just can't imagine not interacting with your family. I don't know. I mean, I would recommend calling the Secular Therapy Project, but if I don't care if somebody's blood related to me or just a friend, if they're not going to interact with me respectfully, if they're going to be a toxic influence, they can fuck off. I don't need them. I don't want them. I don't care if they birthed me or not.
I see. I come from a specific version of family where it is the most pinnacle important thing to never let go of family. So that's why.
Yeah, but that's the manipulation right there. Helpful. It doesn't matter what version of family you were raised with. That is itself manipulative and toxic. If you're raised in a thing where it's like you're going to do whatever you do, you're going to put up with bad shit from family, and you're going to be with your family no matter what. That's a toxic family environment. I mean, you don't have to keep doing that. I know that's where you come from. All I'm saying is you don't have to stick with where you come from. Just like if we came up with an answer 50 years ago to a question, we don't have to stick with that answer if we find a better one.
I really appreciate hearing that from you. I listen to the program on a regular basis. I really appreciate a lot of the things I hear. And hearing something like that from both you and J. Mike is, hey, J. Mike, are you there?
Yeah, we're going to see if he agrees. He may not.
Yeah, well, I do absolutely agree. The only thing I would add there is that it seems like, and this is probably kind of just baked into what Matt's saying anyway, but that in and of itself created the outcome where now you are looking towards your better judgment, right, to get rid of toxic people in your life. But there's this conflict you have, and you cited it to us, like your understanding of family. And if it's true that it is that this is manipulating you in some way, right? I mean, you seems like you acknowledge this. And what's the problem is how long this has been ingrained in your understanding, right? It's not going to be easy just to like, you don't pop in a microwave and come out after you've had, how many ever years plus with this notion of family that you have. But at the same time, like what's constitutive of that family notion you have is what allows this outcome, right? You have this outcome now where you have to take something which in some people's lives where they know that their judgment to go away from toxic people in their life is the obvious right choice. Now you have this other notion that you're kind of predicating it on, which is that like, this is a wrong thing for me to do, when in fact, it might be your best decision. And that's the kind of manipulative tactic that I think you need to analyze at least, or see if you agree with that yourself.
Yeah. And Jay Mike and Matt, I really appreciate being able to talk to you both about this. I asked to speak with Jay Mike as well because I wanted to hear from both of you. It's been a really, really painful thing, and it's like something I can't answer. I was worried I was going to break down and cry when I started talking to y'all on, I didn't want to do that. I really appreciate y'all very much. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, James, and good luck. And by the way, reach out to seculartherapy.org. And if you're not in treatment for your substance issues, please seek that. Because one of the things to remember, while J. Mike and I absolutely mean what we said and about making sure that your family isn't mistreating you, we would be remiss if we didn't point out that we are hearing one side of the story. And it's entirely possible that members of your family are genuinely concerned about alcoholism and that this is causing a conflict. But when it comes to the doctrinal stuff of, you're not following God's plan and we're going to withdraw, that is absolutely manipulative. But having heard only, your side of the story, all we can do is tell you what we would do in that situation. And for me, as painful as it is, if my family members are going to try to, be abusive towards me over things that I don't believe or don't have control over or whatever, I'm better off without them. And as painful as that may be in the short term, wouldn't it have been better to 15 years ago, after putting up with 2 years of it, to just say I'm done and then cry for 5 years and then have one good decade afterwards?
Yeah, I agree with you, Matt. I had a situation where I've run across conditional love over time. And last week, I wound up calling the police to go have a check on my 88-year-old mother because she stopped talking to me yet again. And it's this thing over and over again. So that's why I was calling for some advice. And I trust y'all. And I think you guys have really good thinking about this kind of stuff. So I really appreciate it a lot.
Awesome. Well, get back in touch with us, James. Let us know what you decide and how it turns out. But yeah, I would reach out there. I got to move on to some other callers. So I wish you the best. Yeah, look out for yourself and let your family know that you expect to be treated with respect just as they would. And if they're not going to do it, that's going to cause problems. Yeah, I appreciate your time, James. Thank you.
Anytime you put it off, just realize that you're not doing that, right? So it's going to be up to you to actually capitalize on whether or not you agree and how you want to go from there.
We got about 5 or 6 minutes left. Kyle in Texas has a weird theory about auras. Pronouns are he, him. Welcome, Kyle. How you doing?
I'm all right, Matt. Thanks for having me on. Sorry, I was laughing at the last guy. So
you're the only one.
Real quick, my theory is that so the way that I was originally introduced to the idea of auras was that you would look at someone and you would see a color or a pattern or a light that more or less, I wouldn't say represented their mood, but, you know, kind of was an indication of a mood or a disposition, if that makes sense. And not too long ago, I learned about something, and I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong because I've never heard it spoken out loud, but I think it's called synesthesia, which is where you, like, see colors or patterns on, like, music or smells. And I was wondering if that was, like, a plausible explanation for seeing auras and what y'all thought about that.
I don't know. And here's why. Synesthesia takes on a variety of forms, and I have zero expertise. I've read it about it and studied it. I've listened to V.S. Ramachandran talk about it and others. I believe it was Ramachandran that was talking about it. I don't know enough to say for sure that you have a potentially plausible explanation for people who claim to see auras. But of the potential explanations I've heard, I think that one seems fairly plausible. It's just that what happens if you have someone who can't possibly or hasn't been diagnosed and couldn't be diagnosed with synesthesia based only on their possibility of seeing auras. So I don't know how do you know more about it, Mike?
Not really. I mean, I'm kind of weirded out just to, like, with the fact that that's a subjective experience that someone has, like how I have access to, like, knowing the aura thing in conjunction with that. There was something I read, like, when I saw your call come in, I just kind of, like, glanced at some stuff, and there is, like, a study you can look up. I don't know the merits of it, but there is something that talks about, like, phenomenal, like, connection between auras and synesthesia. But I just find a lot of that to be, not the synesthesia, but, like, the aura thing. Like, I don't need that to explain that in the world that I live in, right? Like, illness works on a molecular level. We have a pretty good grasp on how a lot of these things work. And at no point has invoking auras benefited our predictions ever. And so it seems to be like some chakra type of nonsense to me. So I just don't know why someone would accept it absent like a good reason.
Yeah, I know we can go through and kind of diagnose synesthesia in some aspects where somebody can say they visualize numbers as colors or sounds. And all you need to do to demonstrate that their subjective experience is at least as represented is show that it's consistent and internally consistent, which is not a robust epistemology for determining what the actual truth is, but to show that somebody can consistently demonstrate this, you know, test them at different times and let's, you know, change the way the numbers and things look and everything else. But it's such a broad and really confusing aspect of our minds that I don't know. Here's something to kind of, I don't know where you're at, Kyle, but what if the people who report seeing auras actually aren't, don't have a version of synesthesia, but have some other mental aberration or are just engaged in a weird kind of self-deception? Because I'll tell you this, we know people who have engaged in the sort of psychic medium stuff, even if they start off knowing that they are frauds. Some of them have gotten so good at the essentially like the cold reading aspect of it that they manage to convince themselves that there may be some truth. And it's the same thing with, you know, tarot cards and other things. Like bits of cardboard have no insight for anybody. The cardboard doesn't know what's printed on it. The universe doesn't care what's printed on it. And so the Ace of Cups and the Death card are fundamentally identical. And yet people see what they want to see. I wonder, and there was a weird thing that happened to me when I was a kid. We were laying out on a trampoline, and in order to show off for our friends, somebody suggested, it's like, wow, I wonder if there were drugs in those brownies or Kool-Aid or whatever it was we had eaten. And there clearly wasn't. None of us were high. Nobody around us had access to any drugs or anything else. But because of that suggestion, we pondered it. And while we were laying there on the trampoline, it looked like the moon was moving, or somebody claimed that it looked like the moon was moving. And then the rest of us reported that we saw the moon moving as well. I don't recall, because I was a little kid, whether or not I actually saw the moon moving or whether I was saying I saw the moon moving or whatever else. We have on standby in the back, student Dr. Ben, who was going to fill in if anything went wrong. Thumbs up or thumbs down, since we don't want to necessarily pull a third in right now. Where are you on the likelihood of synesthesia as a possible explanation for people seeing auras? If Ben's doing this. I find it interesting, Kyle, and I think it's an interesting speculation that somebody should perhaps set up a test to see, okay, for the people who can reportedly see auras, one, can they do what they say they can do? And two, what might be the causes of that? Because one of the things that the James Randi Educational Foundation did for years with its $1 million prize was, if you can demonstrate the phenomenon, not necessarily the how, but if you can demonstrate the phenomenon, you could get $1 million. And so anybody who can consistently show that they could read auras, I don't know how you test for it, other than, like Mike was talking about, this self-reported aspect.
Yeah, and I just want to preface, my criticism isn't on synesthesia as much. I think maybe some people might take that the wrong way. It's just this idea of auras. Seems like there's no... I guess to what Matt's saying, I don't know that there's a there, you know, like, and how we discover that in the first place is kind of where I'm really skeptical of, like, what that looks like, and seems like an unfalsifiable position to me.
Yeah, I did miss out on one thing that I had forgotten about, was that it was the theory would be based off of all the unspoken things that people, you know, do when they're like, you know, posture and facial expressions, they're supposed to be like most of what a conversation is. And I was just thinking about social evolution and how, you know, like, we've evolved all these various different things to help ourselves, like, you know, understand what someone that we're talking to feels like, or where their emotions are at. And if this was, you know, for some people, it's just a conscious thing. I'm picking up that, you know, this guy's about to be angry with me. And then for other people, it was this, you know, I see red or something. But, and also,
yeah, it's interesting. And there are colors,
have a live stream on.
Yeah, there are colors that we've attributed to emotions, like green for jealousy and red for anger. And
like, red is a trumpet. I've heard that.
I don't know enough. Red's for what?
Like red, like the sound of a trumpet is like what red, like, I've heard people make that type of, like, when I think of red, I think of the sound of a trumpet. I've never understood that. So maybe I just have this complete disconnect there, but.
Well, there's a further disconnect, because if you start talking to people who are big into music, they will start describing certain things as, you know, like, major chords are happy and minor chords are sad.
Sure.
Which I'm okay with that. I can get where we're conveying a certain mood. But when they start going on to the flavor of voices and this intonation and that, they lose me at some point. And maybe, sure, I'm the weird one. I'll fully acknowledge that. But this sort of, like, subjective, let me describe the experience of listening to this, approaches like qualia levels of rejection for me. But I don't really know, Kyle. I think that's about as good of an answer as we can get for you, but it'd be interesting if somebody dug into it a little deeper and maybe email a neuroscientist.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Cheers. Thanks, Kyle.
Thanks. It was an interesting topic. I don't ever have people call in about that. So
yeah, it's one of those things that's interesting enough. I'm probably going to spend quite a bit of time thinking about it this week. Like, what can I tie this to? Is there a way to do it? All right. First of all, let's thank our awesome crew again, because they reminded me of a couple things while I was doing stuff. Put yourselves up on the screen, all the work that they did. And a huge thank you to Ben for being our backup here and sitting here through all this and being willing to give me a thumbs up on that. There's a lot going on, including our monthly excursions back to the ACA building. If you're in the Austin area, you make sure that you visit atheist-community.org. Find out the information. The next one is going to be Sunday, September 25th. Doors will open at noon. You can park in the lot until it's full, and then you park wherever you legally can. Talk Heathen will be on from 1 to 2:30 p.m., and that will be objectively Dan and a special guest. And the Atheist Experience will be on from 4:30 to 6, just like normal. So those of you who are watching it over the internet, you won't have to change a thing. You'll just miss out on all the awesomeness of hanging out at the building and maybe getting some pizza and other stuff. But myself and Jim Barrows will be back on there for that. In the meantime, I'm going to be gone for a couple weeks in September, and I'm also going to be dealing with the health issues related to my eye. I should not miss any of the scheduled shows, but it depends on what the specialist actually says. I appreciate all the well wishes and the patience of people in dealing with this. But if you get the chance to come down to Austin and watch one of the live shows at the end of the month, and there may be more as things return back to normal. We're not completely sure yet. Please do so. And you may want to email and say, or stop by one of the Facebook message groups and say, hey, I'm going to be in Austin and meet up with some of the people who live here, because I'm not nearly as scary as everybody says, or as some people say.
I met you once. I was underwhelmed. I was, you know, I thought you were going to scream and yell at me. So, but you know,
that's what everybody's underwhelmed when they actually get around to meeting me. It's really not a big deal. On that note, please take care of yourself. Please stay safe. And we look forward to seeing you next week here live on the internet and at the building on September 25th, if you can make it, because we'll be there. Take care. Bye-bye.
What will it take for you to start?
It's time to get sexy. So watch Secular Sexuality Live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Central. Visit tiny.cc/YTSS and call into the show at 512-991-9242 or connect to the show online at tiny.cc/callsex.